Hello and welcome to another episode of Working Title. I'm Ryan Fring with the BitLife Show, and today we talk to Jordan Post, a gaffer, grip, cinematographer who we work with a lot, and it's actually been great to have him on the show, not only because of our relationship, but because he taught us new things, like where did the word gaffer come from? No, you'll have to tune in to find out. And he's a very talented person when it comes to lighting and creating a look and executing a certain vision. And so it's been really great working with him, and we're really excited to have him on the show. So check it out. So thanks, Jordan, for joining us. Jordan Post, ladies and gentlemen. We clapped one time. We should clap again.
We now clap for everybody.
We don't really have an opening.
Okay. That was it.
I feel honored. There's a different opener.
do you want to come up with an opening for us? We can do it again. And then
no, don't do that because I like our openings.
So you were just talking about 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah. Why don't we just start there? Yeah. I mean, I have places to start.
It wasn't very good.
Why did you go? What?
Brittany is a large fan of the book.
Okay.
So Brittany's my fiance.
Nice. And
she wanted to see it, and I just went with it.
Did you have any knowledge of it beforehand? Were you aware?
I knew what it was about.
Yeah.
And it was that it's like a pornographic book, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was interested to see what they would be able to show.
You know, I wonder how they're going to adapt that from the screen. You know,
In my opinion,
I hope Brittany listens to this. Like, you are interested in seeing this? In my opinion, I think it's the one time that the pornographic version of the Hollywood film would have been better than the Hollywood film. Like, that's the only occurrence where that could actually happen.
So, is there anything worthwhile there? Specifically lighting. Did you notice anything that was like, oh, that was nice?
Location was pretty cool, and they had some really cool lighting coming in.
The location.
How many shades of light was there?
50?
50 shades
was
of dark.
Was it at least 50 shades of dark?
50 shades 50, of dark.
That's 50 a shades sequel, right? Of half light, half dark.
half CTO.
Have we explained yet why Jordan wouldn't care about lighting? Or?
No. We're gonna just going to keep this going as long as
well,
we
hopefully
can.
Everyone read the description.
And saw the intro.
Which is somewhere. Oh, yeah, there's probably an intro. Yeah. So, what do you do?
I am a grip, gaffer, videographer, DP, whatever.
So you said something there that I didn't know of for the longest time, and many people probably don't. Gaffer and even grip. So what the heck are those?
So basically what I do is I am involved in the lighting department of films. Every film has lights everywhere. I mean, you have like this frame, and there's light coming in. I mean, the frame is basically hiding all these stands and this forest and trees everywhere of stands that are all around the picture, and it makes it look quite beautiful. So I do that. I manipulate light, and
fun. Let it be known that we kind of had this set up, and then Jordan walked in and in true Jordan style said, can I help you out with anything? And started fixing things because we can do the lighting, but not like Jordan can.
We also have the space now to do the lighting.
Yeah.
It's very
cooler.
Have you ever heard, like, has any, like, old gaffer ever told you, like, the origin story of the name? They're like, way back when, early in the days of cinema, old Jim Gaffer started it up.
Jim Gaffer again?
Well, I believe it's a very old wooden Civil War ship.
I think it's Spanish for whale's vagina.
Yes. I'm pretty sure this entire conversation just got far too smart for the show.
Wait, are we still talking about 50 Shades of Grey?
I'm confused, right?
There's whales in
there. I believe the origin is actually it's British, and it gaffer means boss, generally. I believe. I'm not.
I want to be the gaffer.
Yes.
Call me the gaffer.
Yes.
But I don't want to do lighting.
That's all right. So just want the name.
Gaffer everything.
Maybe you could be King Gaffer and then Gaffer.
Ooh. Gaffer or
Overlord.
Best boy. Best boy gaffer.
Best boy.
Or best girl. Is there a best girl?
And this is best boy.
Best boy who's a lady.
Best boy grip gaffer.
Best lady.
We should stand up for
the
women.
I want to be the key grip then. Yes. There's a key.
Those are the people who just stand around holding the keys in the building.
They sound that's important.
Yeah. They do.
What do you think of the lighting in here? I don't know. Go ask the gaffer.
It's pretty much it.
Is that how you have to do it?
By the way, that was the British accent we needed earlier.
That was go ask the gaffer. Crikey.
Right, here we go then.
I want you to speak with an accent the rest of the show.
Now I've angered that audience, that one person on the other side of the
pond. Just as long as Jordan doesn't storm off, it's fine. As long as he doesn't get up and throw the headphones.
So what are things that you think about when you're setting up lighting and before? Is somebody here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello.
Scott.
There he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott. Yeah. where were we before we were rudely interrupted by ourselves? So what are you looking at? What are you thinking? How do you do it? I've noticed you were the first person I ever saw, you know, for skin tone, holding your hand out and looking, you know, where you're setting up the lighting to look at that. What are you looking for? What are you thinking about?
You kind of go into a room, and nowadays it's changed a lot from like back in the day with film, where you'd have to have a light meter and you go in and take readings and everything. You have to get up to a certain ASA. And now with the camera so like sensitive, you don't really need to do that. You can kind of go off what the natural light's doing. And basically what I like to do is just augment the natural light and kind of use that as inspiration. If there's like a window over here, maybe push a whole bunch of light from that direction. And you can always do those like unmotivated pops of light that just look cool and don't really need any explanation at all. You're basically going into a situation and seeing what's working for you and trying to make it look better and take away like the harshness of a lot of the stuff. So it's fun. And, you know.
How'd you get into
That's
it?
That's what I want to know. Yeah. How did you get into gaffing? Being the king.
You met a British guy, right?
Right, being the king gaffer.
He's like, oh, come over here with your gaffing.
Oh, governor. Tea.
We now pissed off a second person. So he just... That's two.
Aaron's like, that's not how it is. Yes.
They don't say that over here.
Our one friend who's in Aaron. You guys? In England.
Aaron.
London, Ireland.
How did you get into this? How did you... Well, because you're also fairly young. I mean, you have this dashing beard, but...
Well, thank you.
You're not an old guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not old. I'm 25.
Strangest question.
I went to Stout for a while, and I kind of knew I wanted to go get into video production. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that they didn't have a program, so I transferred to Milwaukee. And then I kind of got into their program and started doing some things. And then I had a kid, and that kind of really kicked me into gear. I was like, well, I really got
to... Get to work.
So I started with Production Club, which is this club that like kind of produces like short films and like gets people to try different roles out. And I met Quinn Hester, who was gaffing on that, and he kind of got me into lighting a lot. And that's where I kind of picked it up, a lot of it. And then I knew Betty Allen at Flip 11 Creative, and they were looking for an intern at the time, so I got in with them, and they kind of started teaching me stuff, and then that's where I met John Klein and all that stuff. And then I met Brooksy, and he got me in with Perk, and basically it's just knowing a whole bunch of different people and knowing the right people and being in the right spot at the right time and being super lucky, basically. And then they kind of got me into gripping and stuff, and then I kind of started branching out a little bit and shooting a little bit and gaffing a little bit for some companies, and that's basically how I got here.
So is that where you want to keep doing? You want to keep gaffing, or?
Yeah, I think.
You mentioned videography a little. Do you care about cinematography? Do you want to do that, or what's your plan?
Yeah, for sure. I love shooting. I think it's really like inspiring, and it's really fun. Adding the camera, because with lighting, it's just the lighting that you have, but with like camera, you have like all these different aspects that you have to think about. I think I'd love to shoot in like 10 years when I've learned lighting and you know, I've learned a lot more.
You could just make it up like we do.
Yeah.
Not wait 10 years and just
I don't know anything about editing.
Give me a flapper over there.
Do we have any of this extra coverage rollers of footage?
You go.
Yeah, it's the inside filmmaking, and we've certainly learned a lot of terms from you, which has been a blast. stinger, for instance, and you know, different lighting things. And why do you think that is? I mean, you could call it an, you know, an umbrella and a flag, or I guess flags easier, or an extension cord and things like that. Why do you have all these things that confuse the first-time filmmaker?
Well,
don't say a British guy.
Yeah. Well, the British guy was like, we need to call this thing different.
Oi, get over here and bring this thing out.
That's his Australian friend. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yay, we're slowly knocking people off the continent. Just narrowing it down.
Well, Stinger, it actually used to be just like a cord, and you just wrap another wire around it, and you get stung by it. It used, like, you didn't have the plug back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Like, it used to just be like a live wire.
You would.
Yeah. Really?
You just wrap a cord
around it. Or you like poke it into it or whatever.
That sounds like, really dumb.
Get stung by it. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. How many lighting people did we go through in the old school?
It explains your meteoric rise, because safety-wise, you haven't electrocuted yourself yet.
Yeah, not
everybody
yet.
Else is dead.
Yeah, it was first called a murder.
Yes. We just, safety first, everybody. All
right. So butterfly.
I don't know.
Where's that from?
I'm not sure. I mean,
a big...
Can we explain what that
flag
is?
Majestic like butterfly.
Big white flag.
Yeah.
Big. Can it be? Mothra? Can you use different materials in there for a butterfly, or is it just?
Oh yeah, for sure. There's what a whole bunch that? Of different flavors, is what they like to say.
Oh, flavors of butterflies, because that makes sense.
Can we explain what like a butterfly is? Yes.
What is a butterfly, Jordan?
Butterfly is like a big, like 12 by 12 or 20 by 20 foot frame in which you use to diffuse or block light, and it basically smooths out the light. And makes it look very soft. And
how is
not
that
to be confused
different?
With a large flag.
Or a bounce.
I totally
bounce,
knew that.
Yeah. What are so what are the difference? And then like that red thing back there, which is what I like. Or not red, blue. It's like, not red. No, the blue thing back there.
Guys, yeah. I think Julia's colorblind.
Seriously, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'll just keep drinking.
Yeah, that'll help.
With my blue cup.
Yes.
The water that we have in
yes. Yeah. Yes. The water that we have in our
the
blue cups.
Water.
Very dirty.
Yes.
So
okay,
yeah, so
a butterfly versus a bounce versus a flag.
Well, butterfly is usually meant for like diffusion.
Okay.
I guess is the term. I mean, you can still use it for like blocking light and whatnot. But a bounce, then you just like basically redirect the light and point it somewhere, and
you're bouncing.
You're bouncing,
light, right?
Mm-hmm. You're bouncing. Wow. It.
Yeah. These names weren't
it's
very
something
creative.
That makes sense.
Stinger, yes. It stung you. Yeah. Bouncer, it bounces light.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then
the gaffer, they're like, oh, it's a guy who gaffs people.
And they're like, wait,
what? No.
It's the
British guy, get out of here.
The ever elusive C-47.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's, I don't think anybody knows. And people like play around with what the origin is. They like screw around and like give you like fake stories about it and stuff.
From what I've heard is it was like in LA they have like a big storage area, and that's where they used to store them. It was in row C, column 47, something like that.
It's a clothespin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think
I've been on the stages, and I've actually heard like the gaffers and the people ask for C-47s, and I was like, I totally know what that is.
Yeah, it's typically like around here, like we call them bullets or clips, or just because C-47s
yeah,
it's so cumbersome.
I feel like such a douche too. Like, oh, do you have C-47? Like the C-46 is not good enough.
Well, and we work with a lot of like independent film people, so we're like, do you have C-47s? And they're like, what? And we're like, the clothespins are there.
Oh yes,
like, just stand back and don't touch things. Please. Have you been on any big productions, any movies in Milwaukee? Or?
Well, I mean, nothing. No, I mean, there's some big movies that come through. It's not typical. I mean, Transformers came through before I was really in the industry, so I didn't get a chance to get on that. But there's a lot of like big commercials. I worked on a spot with Nike, and the gaffer was Ian Kincaid, the gaffer for Django Unchained and like all like Kill Bill movies and all that stuff. So that was pretty cool. And,
which spot was that?
It's for Nike. It's with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan.
Okay, Brian was on that, right?
Yeah, Brian was.
And on Olivia Munn was hanging around.
Great. Now I gotta
please.
Now I gotta
go
find
ahead, continue,
that commercial.
Everyone, be quiet.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I don't know if Olivia Munn was there. I was only on the first day, unfortunately.
Okay.
So I wasn't on the second day. I had another job, but.
So you
oh, you were too good for it.
Nice.
I have a question,
and that's who we work with.
Yeah.
Welcome to the club. So I have a question. You name dropped somebody, which you explained who they were, because I don't know, and I'm dead serious about this. Is there like big name gaffers that are in the house that if you do that you would know
that, like, you would geek out about?
Right, like directors would geek out about Spielberg and Hitchcock or whatever, or Fincher, yeah. But then and then writers would be like, oh, David Koepp and oh, this guy, like all these people, but it's like, I don't know that world, so are there people like that that'd be like, holy crap, I know all the movies you've done and stuff like that, or not so much?
There definitely are. I don't know all their names.
Okay.
I usually, when I get on sets like that, I'll go to IMDb and I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I mean, he told me to move a floppy, which is a big 4x4 flag, and turns into an 8x8. But
it's not something you stick in a computer.
Yeah, it's not a floppy disk.
It's actually pretty hard.
What's a floppy disk?
Yeah, wrong audience for that.
But he told me to move, and I was like, oh my God, yes.
You're like, yes, sir.
Anything you want.
Anything else.
The interaction I was had with him, but I got to see him work and do everything he did. Nice. We had a whole bunch of condors, which are basically cherry pickers with lights on them and stuff like that, which it was really cool. We probably had I think it was a crew of 50 to 75 people, and the spot, the shots we ended up using was literally 3 seconds of the video, which is a 2-minute video. Mm-hmm. Probably cost them $100,000, I'd say, at least.
Yeah, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
For just those 2 days. So it kind of shows you the budget that goes into something like that.
Yeah, and what were you? Were you a grip? Were you
I was a grip, yeah.
You're a grip.
Yeah.
And so for people who are interested in doing this sort of thing, how did you get your start? I mean, you said that you started working with Flip 11 and that sort of thing. Was it the internship that kind of kicked that off and you started meeting people, or was there, one specific thing? Is there a resource people can use, or?
Well, I mean, if you're honestly, school is a good place because you meet a lot of people who are into it. But you don't learn, I mean, depending on the school, you don't learn, Full Sail, you learn a lot, but Milwaukee, you don't learn anything. They have a few classes. Where,
shining shining endorsements.
Yeah. I mean, they have a
we
few
are on
classes,
a roll today.
Yes. It's an art film program, yeah. So you're not going to learn any, sellable skills.
Yeah, and that's fine. But it's not, practical. You're not selling your art.
Right.
I mean, you're doing spots and you're getting on trucks or whatever, and you have to learn the equipment. Mm-hmm. So I started out doing a lot of free things, and that gets you in a lot of spots. That's how I met you guys, through Firmament Films. Mm-hmm. And what was it? Game Day.
Noise.
The Noise.
The Noise.
Yeah. Noise.
That's how we all
met. It's currently playing on the screen right now.
Yeah.
So good.
Or it's not, because Jeff is lazy.
That happened once or twice, where somebody went, where's the video clip? And I'm like, oh, I skipped that part of the episode, didn't I?
Because we don't rewatch these.
I mean, I spend hours on editing.
Minutes.
Just that my timetable's a little off from everybody else. Hours equals minutes, so. I spent a day once working on a video. That's an hour. Or 46 minutes.
You just
minutes.
Hit the edit button, right?
Yeah.
Skip the render.
Just edit, and it goes, obviously, here's what everything you need. Blah, 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 blah.
You always make fun of this light over here that we have, the Tota from Lowell.
Why?
What lights do you like? What do you like to work with?
Well, I mean, there's a right light for the job. And
right
the Tota is usually not the right light
for
the job.
Is the Tota ever the right light for the job? No. Okay.
I mean, maybe one instance where it's just blowing light everywhere. And
maybe in the instance where it's the third light that you have.
Yeah. It's well, I guess we got nothing else. Could use my phone light.
It's that or phone lights. Yeah.
So you're unscrewing light bulbs. You're anything. Yeah. Anything not the Tota.
Yeah, it's just a terrible light.
So why is it a terrible light? What is it about it? Is it just because it's so bright?
Because when you look at it right now, you're going blind?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I'm going to keep looking at it, guys don't mind me.
Sorry, Jordan, go ahead.
It just
it's burned in my eyes.
It just craps light everywhere. It just doesn't control it. You can't control it at all. I mean,
with black wrap or flags.
I mean, you can,
or butterflies.
But it's a pain in the ass.
What a mental image. I've never thought of something crapping light before.
Yes. It's gonna have an animated light crapping everywhere.
It's the Pixar lamp coming out and just light.
So if you recommend some lights for, a basic light kit, what would that be? Not the Tota.
I mean, just a standard Airy kit. It's solid.
What's in the standard Airy kit?
A 750 or 1K with a softbox, and then maybe two 650s and a 300 or something like that. just all Fresnels. Mm-hmm. Then you can like control them and like you can spot them or flood them. You can use, it actually has barn doors, so it's not, you know, shooting light everywhere.
Yeah. Now, do you own any Aries or
no?
What
do you own any? I mean, I normally just rent.
Yeah.
And like I'll just if I'm on jobs, they have them too. Like yeah. So, it just doesn't make sense. And I'd like to someday, but you know that's like $3,000 for a kit starting out. So. Mm-hmm.
Say, I'm assuming it's cheaper to rent it for the few times that you're going to need it than would be to go out and buy it. And
then the client just pays for it.
Like, all
right.
There you go.
So, yeah. So do you work with them a lot in pre-production? When you do get to gaff, with us, it's kind of been like, oh my gosh, let's get Jordan here. And then, oh, all right, Jordan, here you go.
Yeah.
By the way, we need to start filming in 10 minutes. So can you throw it all together?
But other jobs that you've gaffed on, have you had that ability to kind of work out?
Some. I mean,
with the UW stuff. That we did, we brought you in and said, okay, what do you want?
Yeah.
All right, how about a little smaller?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely helps out a lot. Mm-hmm. And because then you can, like, if you're, like, need a really big, like, well, you can plan on that. Mm-hmm. But if you have, like, a big truck, like a 5-ton or 3-ton, like, just comes with you, like, you typically don't have to scout because you have all the tools.
Okay.
Which is nice. I mean, you still should scout because then you know everything and what's... And, like, usually, like, when you scout, it's, like, you throw, like, half of it away anyway because, mm-hmm. like, the shot will change or something else will change. But it's a – I mean, yeah, I do try it. I try and scout when I can. And then, like, especially because, like, on some of the stuff that I do gaff on, they're, like, smaller budgets. And, like, mm-hmm. well, we can only afford, like, two lights. And it's, like, well, all right, let's see what we can do and, like, what's the best light for the situation and stuff like that.
One of these two, I imagine.
What's that?
One of these two is the best light for the situation. Yeah. One of the two that you have available. Yeah.
What do you think is the biggest mistake that beginners make in lighting? Or what are some things, you know, what are just some of the basic things that people need to
do? Yeah, some good initial tips. Yeah.
I think over lighting. So like just using too many lights. Mm-hmm. There's like the art of lighting is...
Don't worry, that didn't get
you're safe, I promise.
The art of lighting is, you know, it's adding light, but it's also subtracting light. So, like, the right situation may not call for a light. It may call for, like, a negative fill, which is just, like, a big black cart. And it may look beautiful. Like, I worked on a job in Rockford just a few days ago, and they had this huge row of windows, and it was just, like, this portrait of this woman, and the right call was just to put up a black cart, and they were done. No nice. Lights whatsoever. And it was... just quick like that, and it's quick breakdown and stuff like that. So you really have to like take a look at the situation and not try and overcompensate or just try and light because you just have the lights. Mm-hmm. It's using everything in the right situation.
Now you get paid the same amount for just putting up that blackboard, right? And then you would have you were standing there for 2 hours lighting. This is a good job.
It's a good job. $200 fee.
Oh yeah. For the knowledge to know just to block that light. I like it.
So how much do you work with like a director of photography? What does that relationship look like between a director of photography and the person who's in charge of the look setup in the camera and the gaffer, the lighting king?
The lighting overlord.
The boss.
Yes.
The boss.
The boss.
That's what they call it in Australia.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting relationship. You'll meet a lot of different people. And some people know how to light and some people don't. And it's just kind of learning how to balance that. And I mean, it's fine if you do or you don't. I mean, whatever. Like some people just say, I want this. And that's it. That's what they want. And some people be like, make it look pretty. And it's like, all right, this is the shot. And I'll just go about my business and do that. And it's kind of like, I think the best relationships are ones that work with you. Mm-hmm. So like they'll have an idea or a vision and they'll say, I really feel like this needs to be like there needs to be a big source coming from over here, and then like, what do you think? What do you want to use for that? And just kind of working together.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a lot of that on your guys' shoots mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. With behind us, we have the Princess Knight set, so maybe we can show one of those shots with the awesome lighting. It's really good lighting, though.
It is really good lighting. Yeah.
It's probably the most that we've had for the Princess Knight.
Yeah.
The most recent shoot?
Because on the balcony, this is a balcony, a castle balcony overlooking a kingdom. So it's facing outside. And the challenge was, okay, this all out here, it's ambient sun coming in. Mm-hmm. And we kind of had an idea on that and then some other ways to punch and light the puppets. But then you kind of invented this crazy setup that worked really well for what we had.
Yeah.
You know, we probably would have liked to have more lights.
Yeah.
In this case, but not just one negative fill.
Yeah.
Is that not going to work here?
I mean, it's been a crazy change. I mean, you guys have seen it. With like when I first showed
Turn
up,
your phone on.
On the first day of PK, I remember showing up and all we had was like a little kit, and I was like, all right, well, this is going to be difficult because we have like the little, I mean, with the little kit, like you don't have a lot of control. It takes a lot more time.
Saying you don't like the Tota.
Yeah, I don't like that Tota.
Don't like the Tota.
Fuck that guy.
Look at that. It's so nice.
But like, I mean, like you can make. I mean, usually you can make anything work. Like with the little kit, it's great. But like, you can still make it work if you have to. And mm-hmm. it's all like time and what looks better. And I mean, I can make anything work with the Tota. Mm-hmm. It just might take me like 5 extra minutes to like block all the light and
whatnot. Sure, right.
But we kind of like have evolved a lot, and thanks to John Klein and MKA Production Rental.
website down below.
Again, that's
website down below.
I don't actually know the website.
MKAProductionRental.com.
Let's all say it together.
Yes.
MKAProductionRental.com. That's a free ad.
Yeah.
They can totally just cut that out of the episode and air it on television. People are like, the hell was that commercial?
They're like, you gave us a 3-second commercial for a 15-second slot.
Did you guys ever see those High Life commercials? Just like, High Life! That was it. Those are the best commercials.
Yeah. Like, you want a 5-second? Okay.
we could loop it 3 times. Same commercial. Just so people go, what the hell am I watching?
You know how you finish that bit.
Huh.
You know how you finish that bit.
Huh.
You know how you finish that bit.
I do.
You know how you broke it.
What?
That was fail.
Oh.
You failed.
So you were saying.
I thought I had
yes. But yeah, it's evolved to
so professional.
You know, we get a lot more lights. We get the Aerie kit. We get like a whole bunch, whatever we need. I guess you guys have a bunch of C-stands now. You've also bought a lot of equipment, which has helped out a ton. But John's like donated a lot of stuff and a lot of, I mean, it's just helped us out a lot and really amp up the production value. And with this being such a like a wide courtyard shoot, like it was difficult because like you can't put like certain lights up there because we don't have them. We don't have access to them. Mm-hmm. We only have access to certain
lights. Like a 100K
lights.
Soft sun?
Yeah.
You didn't have that?
Yeah, and we don't have the space. I mean, it's
I don't
like,
think we have the power.
15, yeah. We don't have power either.
You know that scene in Christmas Vacation when they show his power box and the wheels are just spinning around in circles? Pretty sure that's what happened.
So I had to we had to go to Home Depot, John and I and Chris, and we bought 2 4x8 beadboard sheets and put them next to each other and basically created a 4x16 bounce and hoisted it up in your rafters with some pulleys and stuff. And then we took 6 par cans and shot them up into it and created this really soft source that kind of created the ambient. And then we kind of just filled in from the front and did whatever we had to do.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to use the Tota?
Actually, I think we did.
Well, I don't know. We might have used it way in the back.
I think we did.
You know, but what you're saying, you know, about the way that you put that lighting rig together, I think is important because, you know, given what you have, like, I mean, that's kind of important. Like, when you're on a big shoot and you have a huge budget, obviously you're just going to get a 3 or 5 ton grip truck and then you just have everything and you just run out there, grab it, put it up, and it works. But there's a lot of people who are, you know, our independent film crowd and, like Ryan and I, when we started this company, we started our first couple shoots. We had lights from Home Depot, like
the work lights.
They're $50 per like set or something, and they were like 500 watts a piece, so we could get a 1K essentially, and then the other one on the other side. And we used wax paper, actual wax paper. It would start burning after a little while.
Just got to replace it
for diffusion. And you know,
the person being interviewed is like, guys, was that supposed to be doing that? No, it's okay. It means we got 2 more minutes left of filming. It's going to be fine, man.
But, you know, like we made it work. And, you know, it probably took a little longer. And certainly if you've got high profile clients or something, it's not going to really work. But if you don't have it, like, I mean, that's the same thing that you would have if you had the grip truck.
Yeah.
It's just a giant white
bounce.
Yeah. No.
However it's made and however it's rigged up there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, essentially, I mean, I probably would have done the same thing if I had a grip track. I would have rigged it differently and it would have been on mm-hmm. stands and whatnot. Maybe I would have used like foam core instead, but I think it worked out well.
Yeah.
It turned out well.
Yeah. How much of that is problem solving when you're gaffing and gripping and setting up light?
Like constantly. It's because like, you know, like certain lights won't fit someplace. You maybe have to bounce it from over here and stick a white card there. Or you have to, it's just like constant, like working with your environment. It's always different. You never know what you're going to get.
I think too, you do that really well and you're very adaptive. So like, I think like the use of your, like a shower curtain, like you find really unusual ways to be able to get the job done. And I think that's really cool. And like, even when you came in today, we're hanging some, you're like, what do you have? And we're like, lamps in the hallway. But then we found something and you put it up and it helps. So yeah. I think that's really cool. That's probably also why you're really good at your job.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, because you can like look at that and then make a quick decision.
Yeah.
And you bring shower curtains everywhere.
Yeah.
Just in case it's wet out.
In any other profession, it would be creepy. Yeah. Not in the lighting.
Here.
You guys want to take a shower.
He's like, shower curtain, rope, and knives.
Yes. Like, was that in the
murderer?
Movie Saturday night? Yeah.
I think it's time for me to get a new lawyer. He came to the trial with a shower curtain under his arm. It was kind of weird. I think it's time for me to get a new lawyer.
50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Shower.
50 Shades of Shower Curtains.
Shower Curtain Grey.
This just became some weird, like, psycho 50 Shades of Grey combo. It's weird.
What's some, you know, movie with really interesting lighting you could think of and, you know, what makes it stand out?
I'd say I'd more reference a show. Okay. Have you ever seen Sherlock?
Yeah.
Sherlock yes.
is just amazing. And the amount of time they have to do that is just like, they don't have any much time at all.
Mm-hmm.
But they come up with some of the most beautiful imagery. And mm-hmm. I guess the cinematographer, I mean, he's just really good and the shots are really good, but mm-hmm. also the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
How it's just kind of natural and has this kind of, is it blue tones and like it's a little desaturated and whatnot. I love that show. First time I saw it, I watched it all the way through like 3 or 4 times.
Going along with that, is that something, because like I know for editing and the writing I do, I will watch a show and I will really pay attention to like the story or like how they use shots or how when they cut, when they, you know, how long do they let that angle go before they cut away. Do you watch movies and shows and just kind of like go, so I wonder what they did for the lighting there. Did they do
every
this?
Time.
Like, yeah. So, yeah. So it's good to know that that's kind of like an every, everybody, when you have a passion, you'll sit and kind of watch that and kind of try to dissect it.
It's a little annoying though, because like you get distracted, but if like, you know, if the movie is really good then, cause like then like if it is good, then you'll get pulled away from that and you won't look at that. And you're like, shit, I forgot to look at the lighting. That, that looked really good.
Yeah, that's the follow-up thought that, you know, with directing or, you know, any craft in the progress that we like to ask, because I feel like it's kind of like sports. You know, you could watch a game, and if you don't know football rules, you're just going to be like, what the hell's going on?
Especially if it's a baseball game.
Yeah, especially if you don't know football rules and you're watching baseball. But with like cinematography and directing and that sort of thing, I find that much of the time it enhances the experience. Like knowing sports enhances, you know, what's going on. But like you mentioned, you know, I feel like it can be distracting, especially when the movie's just not good.
Yeah.
So instead of adding to it, it pulls you out and you're like, okay, well, that was a weird ass move or that's stupid lighting or stupid cut.
Is there something that you've seen that you're like, oh, that could have been so much better if the lighting was better? You think of off?
It's hard to say because like a lot of lighting is, I mean, it may look really bad, but it's meant to look bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of like Hollywood blockbusters and stuff, they're meant to look that way. It's a specific style. It may not be as pleasing to the eye, but it really, like, if you're in a doctor's room, I mean, there's a lot of overhead lighting.
Right.
And it's not supposed to look pretty.
Sure.
And or maybe it's meant to convey the mood of the character who's, you know, in there getting checked for something.
Mm-hmm. Like turn your head and cough.
Yeah.
You know, that actually, that reminds me of, so in, you know, film school, everybody learns, you know, your 3-point lighting. Apparently I just ate something.
There was a bird that flew in your mouth.
John just ate part of his lung. It's cool. Don't worry.
You got your key light, your fill light, and your back light. But when we shoot the movie,
And when you're shooting, you know, like you said, doctor's office is all overhead or whatever. Like, I think sometimes we might oversimplify it, you know, inexperienced filmmakers, you might just go for that, key, fill, and mm-hmm. backlight. Mm-hmm. And you not think about, like, well, wait, but, you know, what would be natural here? What would be in this scene? Or what would be, you know?
Well, I mean, like, in ways that's a proper way to think about it. I mean, you always start with your key, usually. And then you kind of work your way around that. Mm-hmm. But with, like, I mean, and like, with, I guess, like, take, for example, the castle and all that stuff. We had torches that are giving off all this light. Mm-hmm. So we're like, well, this will give off key that person. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I need a light right by camera over here. It's more of a, well, what can I do to augment that light that's mm-hmm. coming and enhance it? And I thought we came up with a pretty good solution with that. Mm-hmm. It's like a sequence,
That's right.
Square
that's
sequence right for the fire. Kind of thing mm-hmm. that was kind of bouncing through a little texture and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Look here.
There it is.
That's where we're showing it.
Oh yes, wait.
The sequence.
So it's
right
never
here.
It's never up there.
No, it's never
we
up.
There. We shrink. We'll shrink up into the corner, and then it's down there. Here.
It's over there, guys. Yeah. Yeah, it's this way.
Do our voices get higher right when we like go up?
For six episodes, it's always everybody look up there, and I put it down here because I tried putting it up there, and it just looked weird. And I'm just like, all right, we're just gonna it's gonna be down there now. So
it's for the best.
Yes. So what am I putting down there?
The one of the castle scenes castle where scenes. We have like the fiery sequence, something else from Jordan's murder kit.
Yes. I suppose
shower curtain and
is that from
sequence.
A victim?
Yeah.
It was a dress.
I feel like with
there was that peach colored bounce that one time. It looked pretty leathery.
I feel like we could introduce a new name for a kit of lights by, you know, just being like, you know, whatever, Stinger and Gaffer, just nickname. We'll just call it the murder kit. And it's the this weird kit. Collection of pieces that gets used.
It'd be a Gripper Gaffer like side buddy kit. Mm-hmm. And that's what it would be.
I need to go get my murder kit right back.
What fishing hell? Line. What else is in your kit?
Fishing line. You used the one time.
Yeah, I got like some rubber string gloves. Lights and some Christmas lights.
It's like
got a little ring light too.
I'm just thinking of it in terms of murder now.
Horrendous. Oh my goodness.
What else do I got?
What is that all up to?
I don't know.
So, guys, Jordan's not going to be part of the film anymore, right?
He's like, I have this knife with a hook and a toenailer. Like, what's a toenailer?
we can use this. Don't worry. We need to get the light right.
Everyone just close your eyes.
Yes. I'm going to turn off the lights while I set the lights up. Hold on.
Murdered. Now you're murdered.
What's the weirdest thing you've used to light or to diffuse or... out of your
use
murder
my shirt
kit
before
murder, like off your back.
Yeah.
Were you shirtless?
No, I had
an extra shirt. Oh,
I've also used like plastic wrapping of a refrigerator was like wrapped in plastic, mm-hmm. and I took that plastic off and used that to diffuse some things. I don't know what else.
Yeah. So what are common items?
I think that answers the question. It's pretty weird.
What are more common items that you could use? I mean, or common things that you're doing to lights? Are you diffusing them a lot? Are you cutting them? Are you changing the color a lot? What are you and what are common things that you can use to do that?
In like the DIY setting, or
yeah,
okay,
sure. in the murder kit setting.
I mean, like, a lot of times I'll bounce stuff. I mean, you have, like, you always have white walls around you, mm-hmm. and you can just shoot a light into a wall, and then you've got a soft source. I mean, mm-hmm. A lot of, like, with the TOTA, you could do that, and you could have a nice key light, possibly.
You can't even say it.
Possibly.
That's nice. That's not, you're being very generous to the TOTA light.
Maybe, I don't know.
I wouldn't. All that. I wouldn't. Murder people.
Yeah, I mean, there's always stuff, like, you can find around. I mean... just to tape something up I've used like plywood for bounce if you want it a little mm-hmm. bit warmer. I've used that. You just got to be creative and like you really got to know what you want and how light works. Mm-hmm. And once you kind of know that, you're like, okay, well, we can use like this cup and we can cut a hole in it and we can shine a light through it or something. And, I mean, you can create a snoot or something.
Bless you.
It's all those terms. They're just like,
It's to keep everybody else out of their
yes.
way.
Yeah, like us. I feel we like, don't know
anything. I feel like for this episode, I'm going to have the lower thirds popping out
with
definitions oh, nice. Of what he just said. No, it's more work.
Also, we could have him do it. What's a snood?
A snoot.
No, that's what I said. You misheard.
A snoot is...
You're obviously saying it wrong.
It's basically, it focuses the light in a...
Like a snout.
It's like a cylinder.
But pronounced British.
Yes,
a snoot.
Oi, where is that snoot?
Grab a go of some of those Site 48s,
huh? What game?
What do you get about it? What's it about it? Snoot.
Neat. So you keep a stack of Red Solo cups then in your murder kit as well?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yes.
For
yes.
drinking.
For drinking and maybe yeah. to make a snoot.
Yes.
Totally for the drink.
So what about the science? Because I've read a lot, you know, with cinematography and like American cinematographer and stuff. And I feel like the older generation who had to work with film had to measure everything and yeah. know the measurements of everything. Like you mentioned before, the light meter. Mm-hmm. But also, like you were just talking about bouncing light. You know, and knowing all those facts. And I think I vaguely remember hearing about that in school of, you know, you move a light a certain distance away and you half it and you quarter it and blah, et cetera, et cetera. Same thing with a certain kind of bounce and things like that.
It's how twice much? Twice the distance, half the light. I was in that class.
Boom.
I was paying attention.
So how much? So stay in school, kids. This you guy's example. No.
No.
Wait. Oh my gosh. Okay. So you probably heard horror stories. Real quick. I went there for a year, and you're supposed to do this piece in one of the filmmaking classes, and it was kind of written and directed by you with whatever was available. And I did something that I thought was interesting, obviously, and kind of goofy. It was like a psychological in this guy's head, and we were cutting in between his reality and then actual reality, and it was kind of fun. Didn't get a good grade. And then the kid who was like literally the teacher's pet and, you know, the desire of the department ended up doing this piece with his cat. Nice cat, but he was rolling around with the cat and the camera and they were licking each other and then they were like underwater or something and like... That was the quality yeah. that was there.
So, 50 Shades of Tabby.
So then I thought, maybe I'll go somewhere that'll teach me how to make money with my craft, which yeah. I apparently didn't learn anything from. So back to the science. How much of that plays into what you do? Do you think about that a lot? Yeah. Do you have you just bought a light meter, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You're getting like, older, right?
Yeah. I think it's old. When you get older, you buy the light meter. No.
Yeah, the bigger your beard yeah, gets. Your beard,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you obviously think, it's always in the back of your mind. You're always mm-hmm. thinking about, like, it's just second nature, really. It comes mm-hmm. like, oh, if we move this far away from the light, it'll take the light down by this much. So we need to amplify it up or do something else or bump up the ISO or something. Mm-hmm. So you're always thinking about that. And I should say that there was a, when I went to Milwaukee, there was this film, student film, who, you know that horse, the Amazon horse mask?
The horse head, yeah.
Yeah, they had a whole bunch of those. And the horse was in space, it was in a ship. And
yeah,
had
that
a big,
makes sense.
Big window.
Yeah, of course.
And the horse went up to the window, turned around, and looked at some planet and started jacking it. That happened for about like 5 minutes.
And, what?
Yeah, that was... That's pretty good.
So, how was the lighting in that film?
Yeah.
And that's the day that I knew I wanted to be in film.
Hey, guys, is that video playing right now?
The yes. moral of this story is don't let experiences like that stop you
yes.
from wanting to create yeah. good things.
Just but to I mean, be sure, nobody looked down there right now.
I mean, not to talk bad about Milwaukee. I mean, like, I met a lot of great people there, and it was great for the amount of like the people that I met.
Oh yeah, yeah. You don't talk shit. I'll talk shit. That's fine. Yeah.
But I mean, it was a nice school, and you know, whatever. I'm glad I'm out and working.
Well, and I think it is a networking because I mean, mm-hmm. I really liked where I went to school in UW-Madison, but I didn't learn much about like working in the industry
yeah,
there, and you don't really get that until you get on a set, yeah. and so until you start working with professionals, mm-hmm. and you know, getting. Ordered around to go pick up the snoots, you know, whatever.
What's like one of the biggest things that you've learned or, you know, maybe one of the most important things you've learned one of your first times on set?
I think the most important thing I've learned is don't touch things you're not supposed to touch.
such as lenses, or, you know, if you're a grip, maybe just stay away from the lenses. I mean, just because it,
yeah,
not mm-hmm. that like you're going to break them,
yeah,
but like it puts you in a position where
you could break
you
them.
Could break mm-hmm. them. And if you break them, you're not going to get called again. Because,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
that's, that could be like a $40,000 lens. Right. It's just don't put yourself in certain situations mm-hmm. where you don't have to.
And I think it also plays into know your role a little bit, too. Because yeah. if you're a grip and you're touching lenses, unless for whatever reason you're pulled in by the camera department,
yeah.
you know, don't touch anything unless somebody's told you to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, if the DP says, grab that lens for me, you better grab it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if the AC's just... So like go over there and get some lenses, and I mean mm-hmm. if it's like in a box, it's fine, but like it you just don't want to put yourself in those kind of situations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's probably one of those adjustments from film school and independent filmmaking yeah. where you're doing
yeah.
everything
yeah. Yeah.
and you've got, you know, it's just you, and so you have to do everything, and then when you get on a real set, like mm-hmm. like you said, you've got to know why you're there, what you were hired
yeah.
for, and just stick with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever had any awkward situations? Have you been put in any awkward situations? For instance, I was working as a PA, but I was helping the DP / director. I was like right there with the producer, and they're like, "Hey, go grab one of these." And I was like, "Okay." And I walked in, and I started to walk up the grip truck to grab one of those, and like, "Hey, hey, hey, what are you doing?" And I was like, "Well, he said to go grab this," and they're like, "No, don't touch anything." And I was like, "Okay."
I've fortunately I haven't been in very many positions like that because I work with. Perry Perkins, who owns Light Force of Wisconsin, he's taught me quite a bit of what I know today. He's been mm-hmm. doing it for, you know, 30 years. So he actually, a funny story. So he and a few other guys basically started what it meant to be like a grip in Wisconsin. Cause like before when he first started, everyone would just kind of do everything. Basically you show up to set, you wouldn't know what you're doing. And they'd be like, okay, you're doing lighting today. You're doing sound. You're doing camera.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he kind of helped like create a grip and what it is, and like basically like be ready for whatever. And like,
what is that, like your power belt, your yeah, tool belt,
yeah,
right there?
Yeah.
That's the portable murder kit.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not to say he invented that, but like he, I mean, kind of brought it up in Wisconsin.
Sure.
And made it a thing. So that was something that I thought was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when was that he was doing that? 30 years ago?
30 years ago. Like when he first started, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Learned a lot from him.
A little bit of history there.
So when do you start creating your style? Because, and I don't, well, maybe this is a an opinion question, because there are those, you know, the directors anyway, I can't think of the lighting people, but like, okay, Michael Bay has his thing that he does, and Spielberg mm-hmm. obviously has his thing that he does. And we've talked about like getting out of the way is usually a good thing. Like it allows you to get into the story, and then you see that camera whip around the person three times, and you're like, thank you, Michael Bay. So is that a good thing if you start like, this is me, this is what I do every time, I always put the black card yeah. right there, like,
oh, just that's one Jordan negative Post film. Oh yeah.
I mean,
murder shower.
You kind of develop it after a while. I mean, just kind of like, I really enjoy gripping a lot because I work with all these people who have been gaffing or shooting for, you know, 20, 30 years, and I learned just a ton from them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, for a while, I was gaffing for a little bit, and like, I just kept gaffing, and it was nice, but like, I wasn't learning anything.
You're just kind of making
as much
stuff up.
Yeah. So yeah. It's really nice to step back into that role and just observe. And not have to make decisions like that. It kind of like develops your style then too, because you're like, oh, this person does this, and I really like it, so I'll incorporate that mm-hmm. next time into a shot. And I mean, it might not be right for certain situations, but it's right for other situations. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I mean, do you think that's a challenge or an opportunity that now we have technology at a cost that, you know, we can start a business 7 years ago and start doing stuff ourselves and making it up? Whereas the typical methodology is go and you work. I mean, you're doing a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you didn't go out to California and start just as a peon for many, many, many years.
Yeah.
You started as an intern, but then started working on bigger projects and then started doing a lot of, you know, freelance gaffing and things like that. So to round that back up, do you think that's a challenge or an opportunity, or what would you encourage people to to really do to hone their skills?
It, you know, it depends on the person. It, you know, they may, I mean, like me, I have a family, I have a son and a wife, and like, it doesn't make sense to like go move to California and be in a union, because unions, you work like 14-hour days for 6 days for 3 months, and I wouldn't see anyone. Here, it's like, I can work for like intermittently, like throughout the month, and I've worked 15 days. It's like, that's a great month. And I can afford to live and whatnot. So it's kind of nice in your own business person and whatnot. And I mean, it's nice. The union has benefits and being freelance has benefits. But it all depends on, I guess, the person who, I mean, if like you're just out of school and you want to go learn a ton, go be in a union, go to Chicago, go to New York, go to anywhere. And just be in a union, you'll learn a ton, because they'll have all the right equipment, they'll have all the big budgets, and you'll see everything. But I mean, like, then again, you might not want to work on that kind of stuff. So it's, I mean, maybe you just want to work on commercials, or I don't know what it is. It depends on the person, I guess.
Do you think it's changing at all, like with technology? I guess I don't have a lot of experience out there, but I wonder if like, because sometimes I feel like some of the things that I see from bigger productions or other companies, granted, I want to be there, I want to do bigger productions, but I also feel like sometimes it's maybe a carryover from an older way of doing things, or,
you know. It definitely is. Like, you know, I mean, I'll work on jobs where it's like they have like 50 people there, and it's like, well, you get one person to get the C-stand, you get one person to get the bag, you get one person to get the light, you get one person to get the stinger, and it's just like, that's dumb. Like, you don't need that. I mean, one person...
Unless
get,
you're
like,
the ad agency.
Yeah. It's just, get your, I don't know, it's just 50%. Like all these ridiculous roles, like you need a... I mean, like sometimes it's like necessary, and like you need a second AC, but sometimes there's like you have a fourth. I mean, like union rules require certain jobs to be filled, and some of those jobs don't really do anything. But, I mean, there's also a time and place for everything. I can't speak directly in that. But, I mean, like now with technology these days, like anyone can go out and buy like a T2i and like a lens and just start shooting. And I don't know. I mean, they can create stuff. It may not be good, but I mean, they'll learn, and I don't know.
Yeah. So say, I don't have $3,000. I'm in college or just out of college, or maybe I'm in high school, or maybe I've just been bored. But I want to do film, and you know, I need lights. What's something that I can do for as low cost as possible? I mean, we've talked a little bit about, you know, using available things, but you know, in terms of if you were given zero budget and had things that you could grab or steal. But wait, that doesn't work, because you could steal from us or a production house.
I know you'd take that Tota right away.
We're going.
You'd recommend that
Tota.
We're
going down the wrong path. But to the beginner, what would be some lights to have or some things to think about?
I mean, just like, you're talking like Home Depot or like just no money at all?
Home Depot, my house.
Yeah, I mean like...
He will take your house.
What would be, what is nice, like you guys have the China balls, like the little Chinese lanterns. Those are actually can create a really nice soft light. And like even on like huge productions, we use those. And they, I mean, if you can throw like 150-watt bulb in there, and it'll create a nice key light. And then you can do the same for an edge light, and maybe throw something in the background. And those are like, I think, $12 a piece, and then whatever the bulb is. So, I mean, those are super nice, and they're super compact. I mean, otherwise you can use Home Depot lights or, you know, anything. Just use available light too. I mean, that can be a very big thing. It can look more beautiful than using like artificial lights.
What about flags and bounces and that sort of thing? Because even here, when we've had some stuff, we've seen you build things and use other available things like your shower curtain. I hope it's not your shower curtain.
Well, like you're from missing your home. A shower curtain.
Yeah, like you get a call from Brittany and she's like, damn it, Jordan. Now we're not showering. You're like, it's noon. What are you doing?
Yeah, I did buy it specifically.
Okay, good. For the murder kit.
For the murder kit.
I mean, you kind of just make things work with what you have. It's just knowing the concepts. I mean, if you gotta get on set and like see how stuff's done, and once you've seen that, you can kind of use different tools that you find around the house or find around anywhere on set to create something.
Is there a light or a technique or something you've been dying to do that you haven't had a chance to work with yet? Where you're like, oh, I would love filling, you know. Have you worked with everything?
This setup is it, right?
This is it. You couldn't wait to hang up that little light over there.
We barely have these lights.
Yes, I know.
he cried a little when he got in there and saw this.
But he's like, is this all you have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said that.
He did. He did.
It was a question. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, the Tota. I mean, the one light I haven't worked with that I'd love to.
Now's your opportunity.
I love to work with like dinos, just like really big lights. I've worked with pretty much every light except for like the really, really big ones.
For dinosaur, dino for a guy named Dino.
I'm not really sure. Okay. I don't know why it's called dino.
Is it just a big light?
It's like a whole bunch of little 1,000 watt power bulbs. And it's probably about 8 feet by 8 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And you like put it up on a condor and fly it in the air. It's basically what they use for like Django Unchained, like for the backlight. And like the really big softboxes would be really cool to work with too. Like, have you guys seen the behind the scenes photos of Django Unchained?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm, no.
There's a really cool one of the field, which we'll put, and Jeff will put up. Over there.
Down there, down here. It's over there. No, stop pointing in different directions.
Right here.
But it's all over the place.
It has like this really big softbox. It's you know the scene where right after the Ku Klux Klan members like talk about their hats or their masks. it's right after that where they blow up the carriage. And it has this just really cool behind the scenes picture where they have this huge softbox overhead and you can see like some really big lights in the background. I've always been like really into like the big stuff. There's a difference of using like a 20K and a like a 650 because the quality of light
650
watts. Yeah, okay. So 20,000 watts.
Yeah, versus 650.
The quality of light is a lot like better. I don't know. There's something like about big fixtures that like it's really nice light, and that's why they use them.
Well, it seems like what you were talking about earlier, like if you can use all natural, use that because it's such a nice light.
Yeah.
With a giant, you know, 20K, 100K sunlight or whatever, soft sun, you're trying to imitate.
Yeah.
That's
exactly, that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, the sun's really the best light there is. I mean, that's what sometimes when you're outside, you typically don't have to use lights on a sunny day because you can just like bounce the light and like diffuse it and, you know, manipulate it into how you need to use it.
Have you seen any of, we were reading with like the Grand Budapest Hotel and then old movie making in the studios where they would have the sun, sunlight, the, what is that called with the hole in the roof?
Skylight.
And they would break it up with, you know, some a prism or, you know, something and then just bounce all the lights around because, you know, in early days of filmmaking, they didn't have the kinds of lights and technology that we had. Have you seen any of that ever? Or?
No. I mean, like, I've definitely, like, taken, like, mirrors and, like, bounced light from outside that's inside and, like, bounced it over there and then I bounced it with another mirror. I've, like, done that on set, but, like, I've never seen it to, like, that scale.
Uh-huh.
We should start doing that.
We do have one.
Do you want to do that?
That would be amazing.
Hey, Steven, can you open up the skylight real quick?
It's probably too dark now.
Talk us through.
That'd be so.
Just push it down.
Looks like it's pretty dark.
Would have been epic.
Okay, so tell us.
Yeah, it's too dark.
What's happening to our quality of light?
Nothing, really.
We waited.
Nothing's happening.
Oh, yeah, take a picture. Take a sneak.
It was too long.
We've been here too long.
We've been here. It's video, by the way.
What?
Well, then I can cut to this angle later.
So many videos.
Oh, yeah. That's good. All
right, you can close it. Thanks.
Thank you, Steven.
We're going to start doing that.
It's so cool.
That's what's going to set us apart.
Yeah.
Taking a lot longer to do the same thing.
Open the sky.
It might be cheaper. $3,000 in mirrors.
You could like shoot in a 20-minute window every day.
Yeah. Oh, man. That would suck.
Yeah. let's try it.
Yeah, you're going to have to do that. We're going to bring you on to do that.
Sounds good. I'll make it work.
So are there any other, I think we're winding down to our hour or a little beyond. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Are there any other, you know, thoughts that you want to impart on our impressionable audience or me
or,
John?
We've covered a lot. I mean, I don't
And do you guys have any questions?
Oh, one, puppets, lighting puppets, like versus lighting people. Has, you know, has that been any different? Because you're the gaffer, primary gaffer. Yeah. Most of the time, yeah. Gaffer. You're there like most of the time, like 60%. That's above 50. But something with the tone of light or the, you know, on puppet skin instead of regular skin.
Not, I mean, you can get away with a lot more. If you can, because they don't have like the deep set eyes where like, you can just like throw a hard light on them if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's typical. I mean, it's pretty much the same as like you light a person.
Are you saying my eyes are deep set?
Yes.
We all get lost in your eyes. He doesn't mean deep like that, does he? No, he doesn't.
I mean, you have to be careful with like reflections a little bit. But yeah. I mean,
you're gonna want that.
Apart from that, I mean, it's.
So you're saying you'd rather work with puppets all the time?
Yes.
Maybe some more lights.
Why did you say that?
All the video guys shoot from now on
will be puppets. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a niche that hasn't been filled. No. I hope you're ready for this. Yeah. If our audience could watch one movie right now, what would it be?
Django Unchained.
Django Unchained. Yeah. There it is. Well, Jordan Post, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about all things Bright and...
Murder Kitty.
Murder Kitty. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. Yes. We finish each other's thoughts, sandwiches,
and dreams.
Right. Thanks, Jordan.
Nailed it.
We were wonderful.
Oh, you want to come up with a tagline? We don't have an end to this, so you could just end it with any tagline you want. Perfect. All right. Done.
You're going to cut to that every episode?
Yeah.